Welcome to the College Prep Genius Radio Show, where we can answer all your questions about getting college for free. Today, your host is Jean Burke, the author of College Prep Genius, The No-Brainer Way to SAT Success, and you can find her at collegeprepgenius.com. And I'm the moderator, Felice Gerwitz. Welcome. Well, hi and welcome. My name is Felice Gerwitz, and I am the moderator of the College Prep Genius radio show with Jean Burke. Welcome, Jean.
Thank you.
Well, I'm excited today because we are going to be talking about the common misconceptions of the SAT. We're going to talk about the ACT and some things that I've heard and a lot of the questions that you get. For the listeners, this is podcast number 11. So if you go to the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.com, on the front page is the College Prep Genius button. Go ahead and give that a click, and you will find the page of College Prep Genius along with the show notes. And there you will find a lot of information about the program as well as details about what we talked about today. Well, Jean, I came back from a sports weekend, as I shared with you before we went to recording, and it's amazing how much the moms and dads are concerned about their kids' test-taking abilities or wanting to get those scores up for scholarships, as well as hearing all of these rumors like there is a new SAT or things that you've heard. You just came off a very big convention week and weekend. And you have, you know, hear all of these misconceptions of what different people are saying. But the first thing I want to talk about is the money issue. When I listened to some of these parents, and I told Jean, I said I sold two sets for sure to two different parents because one parent was saying that they were working with a person who was charging around $3,000. I'm not sure if it was a group or individually. To be tutored in the SAT, someone who at one point worked for the college boards and now has made it into a very, very lucrative business, it sounds like, Jean. And another person who was going to be paying around $350, and it was interesting because her husband said, well, hold off before you buy it and let me think about it. And then I met her and I said, are you kidding me? I have this great program. Well, I use with my kids, and it's, you know, it's around $100, a little bit, you know, more or less. And you know, Jean does have, you know, discounts and things like that from time to time. You should sign up for the list. And we'll have links on the show page as well. But the thing is, Jean, it's surprising to me because, you know, there's big money to be made if you are tutoring kids, especially with these big numbers, as well as you were saying, you even heard of people have spent, you said something like $20,000, you know, in prep classes.
Oh, absolutely. It's crazy. I think a lot of companies play on the fear of the parents of, you know, if your child doesn't get a certain score, they're not going to get in college. And certainly if you want scholarships, you know, you have to have even a higher score. You know, I don't know if most people know this or not, but the way colleges get their rankings nationally is based on their test scores. So the higher the score, the more money you get because you basically ultimately make them look good. So you've got these companies out there, and I'm familiar with a lot of them that really charge into the hundreds, into the thousands. As I was telling you, I met a young man in New Jersey that I taught my program to. And he said he had spent about $10,000 on private tutoring, and his score went down. But, you know, I hear that all the time. I mean, I live in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and there are several very, very expensive schools in this area that, you know, many of those kids will come to my class and give me some similar stories. One of the reasons why is a lot of these companies teach the wrong stuff. They teach a lot of content, a lot of memorization, you know, a lot of just learning stuff in general. But standardized tests, especially a test like an SAT, for example, is not a content-based test. It's a logic test. And you cannot study for the test per se. You actually have to study the test itself, you know, how the questions are written, how the questions are answered. And they use the same recurring patterns on every test. That's why it's a learnable test, and that's why you can figure it out. But, you know, certainly people don't know that. And people tend to think, well, if you spend thousands of dollars, it's probably a program, it's probably worth it, or they probably know what they're talking about. I mean, think about it. If you spent $5,000 on a program and it didn't work, you're out $5,000. If you spend, let's say, $100 on a program and it doesn't work, you're out $100. And so, you know, when we, you know, going back to 13 years ago, when we literally had no money for college, and mm-hmm. I, someone had told me about getting free college based on standardized tests, you know, and we went through tests to try to figure out what worked and what didn't work. And as you know, long story short, my son was a National Merit Scholar, and we ended up throwing away 7 trash bags, you know, full of college offers with full ride, free tuition and board and all that. And that's why, you know, after my daughter got free college and I created this program. And so my goal has never been, you know, to stick someone with a bill that can really financially devastate their family, especially if it doesn't work.
Right. And that's the thing is, you know, it's so hard to look at, you know, this heavy college tuition and then maybe have a job like education, you know, where you're not going to be able to pay that back. My niece is an attorney and, you know, didn't know, got really, I don't think, good counseling from her high school counselor because she finished high school in 3 years and she finished college in 3 years with a double major and she went to law school in 3 years. So she graduated, you know, very early, but because of how smart she was, I'm sure she could have qualified, you know, for free college and even law school like your son and, you know, just wasn't aware of it and didn't get the, you know, counseling, which I think, you know, something that we as homeschool parents or whether or not you are homeschooling, because I know people listen to this as well, that, you know, have kids in school and, you know, just seems like the guidance counselors don't know about this, Jean, you know, how could you not advise your children about this stuff, you know? So,
oh, yeah.
Are you finding that
yeah.
as well?
Oh, I hear this hundreds of times a week. The sad thing is most guidance counselors, and I have many that are my friends, are so overwhelmed nowadays with so much on their plate that they can't help students. They maybe spend an average of about 30 minutes per year, you know, with each student, and that tends to be just a change schedule. But, you know, in many cases, they're more of a social worker, and they're dealing with a lot of discipline problems in the schools. And so they're really not even able to guide or counsel anymore because they just don't have the time. And many of them don't know this stuff. A lot of them, you know, either have not been taught or they're repeating things that they heard over 30 years themselves. And so, you know, there's a lot of ignorance as well. And so I used to think that homeschools were the least informed until I started teaching in public and private schools and find out that that is actually not true because at least a homeschooling mom has to figure out something. They have to do their own research because there's really nobody helping them. So, no, you're totally right. There's a lot of misconceptions out there just about standardized testing in general. And that is why, you know, one of the things, if families can understand that really test-taking is a skill, it's like piano or mm-hmm. football or baseball or anything, and it can be incorporated into the schooling. And, of course, if they're not homeschooled, they can certainly still incorporate it into their kids' lives. And it can pay off unbelievable dividends because that's, again, that's where all the big money is based on, you know, the student's test scores.
Right. Well, let's talk about standardized testing. Give us a definition on exactly what that means so we can at least get that, you know, clear because we're going to be talking about the differences as well in the ACT and SAT and things like that. So what is
okay.
a standardized test?
Well, by very definition, standardized means that, you know, there are two major factors when it comes to a standardized test when they write these tests, and one is called norming, and that is where it's where, you know, a 4.0 at one high school is not the same 4.0 at another high school since every school or every homeschool weighs and calculates their scores differently. And so the only fair way that a college can compare every student, no matter whether you're in public school, private school, homeschool, charter school, is a test like an SAT because it levels the playing field. So, you know, what we learn here in Texas is not necessarily what you learn there in Florida. So these tests when they write them, they have to create a very norming, in other words, a test that anybody can do well on. It's not going to be specific to Texas only or to Florida or to California. And then the second major feature of writing a standardized test is that they have to follow the same patterns every single time. That's why it's standardized. And that's why these tests can be figured out, because the same patterns, the same wrong answer choices appear on every single question on every single test. And that's why you study the test itself and how the test is set up. And so it's the only fair way. I mean, it wouldn't be fair that I grilled you on Texas history, because you probably don't know much about it, you know, and
right.
vice versa. And so I have to have some sort of way. It's the same thing when we you know, I told you not only did we get free college, but, you know, my daughter got free grad school, my son got free law school, because, again, the GRE or the LSAT or the MCAT, these are all standardized tests. They're all logic tests. If, you know, if you've got a child going to med school, they certainly don't know anything about medicine, because that's why they're going to med school. So the test can't be about medicine. It's got to be about something having to do with logic. And so that's why it's important to understand that whether your child's taking an SAT, ACT, an AP test, a subject test, a PSAT, all these tests are standardized. And by knowing that, you can, for lack of a better word, exploit the weaknesses of the test. Because, again, when they're writing the questions, they have to do the same, you know, pattern, same profiles over and over again on every single test.
Right. And so, you know, and it's a psychological thing, the norming is. I took a lot of psychology classes, and then also because of my education major and, you know, certification in learning disabilities, we had to do a lot of teaching or learning how to give tests, administer. We were even taught how to administer the standardized testing and, you know, and all of these things. And it was really interesting to me, because I thought by the end of it, you know, it really is how that child feels that day, you know.
yes.
A kid can go in and feel great and do a lot better than they can another time when they're sick. And so the nice thing about the SATs is that they can take them often. It's not really that expensive to take it each time, and then you can use the different parts of it. But one of the things, you know, again, we were talking, and you shared with me that someone had put on a blog that you shouldn't even take the SAT, wait a year before you take it, which wouldn't work for my daughter, who is going to be a senior, and is in the process of taking it a few more times anyway before she's happy with her score, because she keeps increasing it. And that was another thing that people used to say, you can never increase your SAT scores, and that is not true, because obviously you can, but that you should wait a year because the new SAT is coming out, and you should wait to take it and let them get all the kinks out. So what do
right.
you have to say about that?
Yes. You know, evidently, if you can charge $20,000 for private tutoring, you get to have some kind of say and get on some kind of major magazine.
Wow.
You know, obviously you have a really good PR person, you know, and I certainly don't charge $20,000. I think that people want to make a name for themselves sometimes, and they get out there and become controversial. The problem with, let's say, quote unquote, waiting a year once the new SAT comes out is that how are you going to find out what the kinks are or find out how well you do unless you take it? You don't have to send the scores in. That's called score choice. And most colleges will do super score, where they take high scores from different tests and put them together. So the only way you're really going to know what your weaknesses are is to actually take it and to understand that, you know, these tests can be figured out. And so not taking it is really a bad idea. Go in there and take it, because, again, from what I've seen as a quote-unquote new SAT, and, of course, they haven't released the full-length test yet, but once they do, you know, I find that it's probably an easier test. It's still a standardized test. It's still a logic test. Same strategies work on the new test. And so unless maybe you have a stake in the ACT company, you know, maybe that's one of the reasons why, you know, some people suggest certain things. You know, you need your kids to go in there and take it. waiting a year means you just wasted a whole entire year, and when you could have been going in there and really working on what, you know, find out what your weaknesses are, and just you being able to get familiar with the test in general. And, you know, another thing, too, you know, again, another big myth going around about the, quote-unquote, new SAT in 2016 is that it is aligning with the Common Core. Well, you know, again, let me dispel that myth, because, first of all, there are 12 states who have either not adopted the Common Core or have pulled out of it, and we find that more and more are following suit. And most homeschoolers and most private schools are not adopting the Common Core either. So if the College Board were to create a test based on Common Core standards, then you would have 12-plus states plus all the other schools and homeschoolers that could literally sue the College Board for creating an unfair or very elite test. Now, I don't think the College Board wants to get bombarded with lawsuits, nor do they want to isolate their customers, since the main reason for the change of the SAT in the first place was to get more students to take the test. In other words, a couple years ago, 1.7 million kids took the ACT and 1.6 million took the SAT. So, you know, obviously, if you're going to want to make more money and have more kids take the test, you're certainly not going to create a test where you've just, you know, cut off half your market. So, again, even though they have not released the full length test, they said March, but, you know, March came, April came, end of May, no test. It's still a standardized test. We've gone through the couple hundred questions that they did release that they're, you know, proposing to use, and we found that our same strategies work because it's still standardized. It still follows the same type of patterns. So I don't think that if you have anything to fear. You know, again, like I said, using these strategies not only work on the SAT, ACT, PSAT, you know, and beyond, because they're all, most of those tests are created by the College Board anyways. So,
well,
you know, again,
so,
that's...
Go ahead. No, go finish your thought.
Oh, I don't even know what to say, so...
We were saying most of them are created by the College Boards anyway, so...
Yes.
You
yes.
know, it's pretty standardized. Very good.
It is.
Yeah. All right, well, we're going to take a quick break here, if I can jump in, Jean, because once we get her excited about this topic, it's hard to keep her back. And I want everyone to know this is totally unscripted. You might be able to figure it out, but, you know, I give Jean a list of questions, and she just goes for it. She just is so knowledgeable, and I'm just so blessed to have her here with us. So you can also send in your questions. You can send them to, you know, Jean on her website or to me at felice@mediaangels.com, and we can ask them of Jean, you know, during this podcast. So let's take a quick break for a commercial, and we'll be right back.
With College Prep Genius, free college can happen to you. That's right, it's never too early to start thinking about test prep to secure your future. Imagine getting free tuition, room and board, free grad school and more based on your SAT score. College Prep Genius is the key to free. This award-winning, nationally featured program teaches students the logic behind the SAT. You'll learn to answer every question in 30 seconds. Raise your score as much as 600 points and go to the college of your dreams for free. Visit collegeprepgenius.com to know more.
Well, hi and welcome back. I am the moderator of the College Prep Genius radio show, and today I'm talking to Jean Burke, and we are discussing some common misconceptions about standardized testing and the SAT test in particular. And before we went to commercial break, we were, you know, talking about a lot of different things, but mostly about, you know, the bottom line here is that these are standardized tests, and sometimes it all gets confusing. And, you know, one of the things I want to ask you, Jean, is to explain to us, because some people may not understand it. It was something you mentioned a little bit earlier about weighed and unweighted scores for, you know, grades for high school. And I know that That was something that I heard as well, that the transcripts are really not looked at, because that, like you said, could, you know, really be affected by how somebody scores their students. So what is the difference in the weighed and the unweighted grades?
Well, an unweighted GPA basically uses the simplest point system to turn your letter grade into a GPA. A weighted GPA reflects more the rigor of your high school course load. So, for example, in a weighted scale, a similar letter grade counts for the same for, in other words, all A's equal 4 points. In a, let's say, a weighted AP or honors course, they may count for 5 points. So colleges view the two scales differently. So it's important to, you know, be very specific, you know, when, you know, you're addressing any questions when you're talking to colleges about weighted versus unweighted. But even, you know, even then, if you think about it, you know, I met a guy the other day. He said that when he was in high school, him and all his friends were in the bottom third of their school, and then two of his friends moved out and moved down to a school just down the street and became top 10%. So, you know, if you think about it, again, you could, one student could go to a very difficult school, very hard school, very rigorous school, and then another student could go to a very easy school and they end up with the same GPA. And so even then the colleges look at that and they really don't know what you learned or how difficult the school was. And that's why it goes back to the standardized testing of being able to just level the playing field for all kids. And mm-hmm. so, you know, and I think that that's why it's so important to, you know, have your kids learn test taking skills, because, you know, our kids are not only going to be testing in high school and into college, but even beyond that, even in our jobs in the future, there's always going to be a need for a test. And, you know, I met a guy even this last conference I was at who said, you know, I'm a contractor and I had to take the contracting test. And he goes, it had anything to do with contracting. It really had to do with how to take the test. And so, because, you know, you can imagine if you think about it, most contractors, they're different ages, they have different backgrounds, they've all learned something completely different. Maybe rules in one state are completely different than a rule in another state. And
right.
So you have to really have some standardized ability to measure everyone. So that's why, you know, right. again, you know, these test makers, whether they're SAT or ACT or whoever they are, they know all these things. And as they're writing these tests, the two things they have to keep in mind is that there's only one right answer. So the great thing about being a standardized test is it tends to have multiple choice, which means there's going to be some, you know, wrong answer patterns that are going to keep appearing over and over again on the wrong answer choices, and then ultimately one of them is going to be the right answer. And the other thing is that certainly anybody who studies standardized tests for a period of time can see that there are weaknesses. You know, obviously, there has to be, you know, how does this test maker come up with the wrong answers? Well, the cool thing once you study test taking is that generally the wrong answers are made up with elements from the right answer. And once you understand that, then you can exploit that to find the right answer, knowing that probably the right answer has the most elements found in all the other answers. So whether it's an SAT or an ACT or whatever. And I think another thing, too, that a big misconception when it comes to the ACT is that it is extremely different than the SAT. You know, we get to hear this all the time, you know, about how the SAT is logic and reasoning and the ACT is really a content knowledge test. And it does. It does contain more content. It does. But it's still a standardized test, and it still contains your logic and your critical thinking. And I think the main thing that people don't know when it comes to SAT versus ACT is they're pretty much the same test. Maybe some formatting differences and a few other differences that I'll tell you. But for the most part, if you're studying for one, you're studying for the other. I've got many, many students who have taken my program on how to ace the SAT and still got a perfect score on the ACT. And so, because there's that crossover of information that you learn. Mm-hmm. And in reality, about one third of students do a little better on the ACT, about one third do a little better on the SAT, and about one third do about the same on both tests. And since every college takes either one, it really makes no difference which one your child takes. Even if they prefer one or the other, they'll convert the score. So a 1300 on the SAT is the same as a 29 on the ACT. But again, I think there's been a lot of money spent on trying to separate the ACT from the SAT and basically say, oh, this is your knowledge. This is how smart you are. In reality, it's still just another standardized test using the same kind of reasoning. It's still multiple choice. So you have to have some wrong answer patterns that fall under the same category on every test. So, you know, again, you have to make sure that executing test-taking skills really comes down to just knowing how to take the test.
Very good. And so, you know, what about with people who have told me, well, if you take the SAT, that's not going to be as good because the ACT is better?
And not true, because 100% of every college takes either one. It really makes no difference. So, I tell kids to try them both. There's nothing wrong with trying them both. Both SAT and ACT have a free test online that you can literally download and take it for yourself. I think that's the best thing to do. And you'll pretty much find that they're very close to the same score when you convert them. I have that conversion chart in my book, but you can certainly go online and just Google SAT versus ACT conversion chart and pretty much figure it out, you know, which one, you know, your child's doing. And again, they're going to be very close to the same, because yes, even though the ACT does have science and does have a little bit more higher math ideas like trig, it still contains the tricky answer choices. It still has, you know, that thinking part where you're being able to reason out the right answer. And you don't have to be some science genius to conquer the science part. Again, you know, I was looking at just yesterday some ACT science questions, and I thought, wow, I mean, it's all the answers right there in front of you. It's not like you have to have, you know, have an amazing score in anatomy and physiology or chemistry or whatever. It really is looking at the data that's right in front of you, and they give you all the information that you need. Even if you've never had any science, you can still do very, very well on the test.
Yeah, and that's what I love about your course, you know, Jean. It really does prepare you to take the test, which is really the fundamentals of what this is all about. Well, I appreciate your time so much, and there are great show links on episode 11, which is what this is, on go to ultimatehomeschoolradionetwork.com/ actually just go to ultimatehomeschoolradionetwork.com, and you'll find the show link for College Prep Genius right there at the front. It's a big black and white and red logo. Just click on that, and you'll get to the show page. Well, thanks again, Jean. God bless, and we will talk soon.
Thanks, Lee. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks so much for listening to College Prep Genius. You can find more episodes at collegeprepgenius.com/show or listen on iTunes or your favorite podcast app on your phone, on your computer, on the go. Just remember, visit collegeprepgenius.com for more information.